I'd like to share with you a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. It's on page 108 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along as I read. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 31. When he'd gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. The very first time I heard the term Maundy Thursday, I kid you not, I actually heard the person say Monday Thursday. And I really could not understand how you could recognize 2 days of the week at the same time. But then I was informed very quickly that it's not Monday Thursday, it's Maundy Thursday. And Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which literally translated is mandate or commandment. And it comes from the Bible passage that I just read from you from the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." If you remember the setting of the Bible scene, that occurred while Jesus and his disciples were sitting around a table eating what has become known to us as the Last Supper. It was the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples before he was arrested later that night and crucified the next day. What you may not be familiar with was that what that meal actually was the Passover meal. And faithful members of the Jewish community have been observing the Passover meal for thousands of years. It goes all the way back to the time when God delivered their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. You might remember that story because many, many movies have been made about those events of Moses and the children of Israel. You probably remember how God called Moses to go to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Absolutely not." And then there were a series of plagues trying to convince Pharaoh that he really needed to let the Hebrews go, and each time he refused. And then the very last plague was when God sent an angel of death to kill all the firstborn of Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but that story has always disturbed me a little bit. The idea that God, our Heavenly Father, would actually intentionally wipe out a whole group of people, innocent little boys and little girls, just because they were born first. Until you start reading the whole story and the sweep of the epic that the Bible writers have recorded for us. If you remember how the story opens, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, orders the death of all the baby boys of the Hebrews. Very unmerciful. And so the writers have bracketed that Bible story with death. Egypt kills, God kills. With one significant difference. When God sends the angel of death, he offers a way out, a way of divine protection. God tells Moses to tell all of the Hebrews to slaughter a lamb and brush the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the doorframe, to roast the lamb and eat it inside the house. And as the angel of death comes across the land, seeing the blood on the doorframe, the angel would pass over that house. Thus the name of the celebration, the Passover. What is very interesting about that story is that there's no limitation put on who can be inside the house. Hebrews, certainly, but the invitation was open to all those who wish to have divine protection from the ultimate sacrifice and be protected by the blood of the Lamb that was slain. I don't know if you remember him or not, but there was a guy named Jeff Smith who once, long, long time ago, had a television show. And on that television show, he was known as the Frugal Gourmet. When Jeff Smith was younger, he was actually ordained into the ministry of the United Methodist Church. And he served as chaplain of a small college in Seattle. And he tells a story about one day he was driving through the eastern part of the state when he was stopped by a flock of sheep going across the road. And as he watched these sheep following one after another, the phrase Lamb of God popped into his head. And so he jumped out of his car, ran up to the shepherd, and he asked, "What does Lamb of God mean to you?" Well, the shepherd was kind of shocked, but he kind of sensed the sincerity in Jeff Smith's voice. So he looked at him right in the eye and he said, "I'm going to tell you exactly what Lamb of God means." He said, "Every year at lambing time, there are always ewes and lambs who don't make it. And a mother ewe whose lamb has died is filled with milk. But she will not nurse a lamb that she does not recognize as her own. So little orphan lambs will starve to death because no mother will accept it and nourish it. So the shepherd will take the lamb who has died, slit its throat, and pour the blood all over the living lamb. And the mother ewe, smelling the blood, will accept it, nourish it, and save its life." When John the Baptist was baptizing at the Jordan River, one day he looked up and he saw a man named Jesus walking on the river bank. And he stopped everything that he was doing and he said to the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." On that night many years ago, when Jesus and his disciples had finished supper, they adjourned to a garden where Jesus prayed. And it was at that garden where he was betrayed and arrested. Over the next 24 hours, he was denied by one of his closest friends. He was interrogated, beaten, spit on, nailed to a cross, and he died the most agonizing death you could imagine. So as we move into our observance of Holy Communion, I invite you to contemplate the nail you were offered at the beginning of the service. Remember the great lengths that God has gone to for you. What it must have felt like to have nails driven through arms and legs, and what that means that God thinks of you to allow that to happen to His only Son. And above all else, remember that the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. And so we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a Presbyterian table. It's the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus Christ has invited anyone who seeks to know Him and follow Him to come, eat and be filled, drink and be satisfied. I would like to invite the servers to come forward, take their places at the table as we bow together for our prayer of preparation. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, at the cross on Calvary's hill, you did for us what we could never hope to do for ourselves. We come to this table tonight not because we're good enough, not because we're worthy enough or holy enough or righteous enough or well enough or rich enough. We come because you have invited us. And you have told us that there is always a place at your table for anyone who wants to come. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have made a place for us. Help us to receive you into our lives more fully each day so that we can share you with the world. In your precious name we pray. Amen.